I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
I am skinny. I am baby.
Yes.
I am posh.
Yeah.
I am ginger and a side of 40.
You really are. Just, yeah.
You heard it here
spice
first.
Spice woman.
The one woman. Yeah, spice woman.
Spice. I'm just spice. Yeah.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together, see what it's all about.
Ducking out, ducking out, ducking out, ducking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that's doing our part in making the Yuletide gay and full of COVID. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're diking out with Dayburger about rainbow wrap.
You know, just fast forward to the interview, because the rest of this is going to be a downer.
Yeah, we still want to hype Day up. I mean, this is a great interview. This was last week, a wildly different time before this Omicron variant really smacked us.
Feels like centuries ago, honestly.
We did record an episode a few days ago, even.
We lost the audio.
We had such a fun episode. We were cracking jokes. We were carefree.
We were feeling that high of talking to Dayburger, and just the positive energy that she was putting off carried us into the next day when we recorded.
A ray of light.
The L Word Christmas Carol reading was going to be that night. So we had some excited energy around that. And then, yes, I did mess up on the audio. And now life has changed dramatically. So we're recording a very different thing. But first, you know, if you're feeling bad for us, or if you feel good about us, please give us the gift of a 5-star review.
Listen to Carolyn's voice. It reeks of COVID.
It's an improvement.
Please give us a 5-star review and a nice review, please. We're trying our best. Oh,
trying so hard. Join our Patreon.
We have put out episodes every week through a global pandemic, and now we're hit with it ourselves. Please give us 5 stars.
Have you been with me on this journey of getting COVID twice, and you have yet to leave a 5-star review? What more Get do I there. Need to do for you this time? I mean, there's nothing gay about this variant. It is homophobic. It is brutal. The first 2 days of it, I was really knocked on my ass. Just felt like a horrible, horrible flu. It hit me hard. It hit me fast. It hit me right after the L Word live reading.
Well, I was just going to ask what your gayest thing of the week was.
Well, I think we had a joint gayest thing, Mel. So myself and Naomi Reggae co-wrote and co-produced The L Word Christmas Carol, a live script reading. And wouldn't you know, I cast the co-host with the mo-host, Melody, as Shane.
Thanks for doing that. See, I can't do it now.
You do have a mask on. I feel like it's...
I'm literally wearing a mask while we record. I'm in a hotel room. Allie has COVID. We're stuck in Austin. We just found
out.
Things
are bleak.
It's mayhem.
Things are bleak. So I have to hold on. There's nothing more cruel than having a night that was as joyous as this L Word script reading. And everybody was so happy to see each other.
It was so much fun.
I had seen most of the cast post COVID, but I hadn't seen Mila in a while. It was just nice, everybody seeing each other. We were taking precautions though. We knew things were taking up. I got a negative rapid right before I got there.
I got tested that morning. Negative.
Yeah, we masked. Most of the cast tested, got rapids that day, negatives. We were all wearing masks backstage. But then afterwards, I think we were all feeling like, yeah, we all tested negative. We're good. We're checking vax cards here. The new variant does not care about your vax card. The new variant.
No.
You should still be vaccinated. We've you should still that. Be boosted. It helps. It makes it less severe. I wasn't boosted. I was going to get boosted this week, and now I have to wait. But the reading, I mean, it was such a gay event. It was at Stonewall. Stonewall was decked and diked the halls for the holidays. They have 2 rainbow Christmas trees. They have, you know, sparkles and cheer everywhere. It was a beautiful place to be. It was almost too beautiful. You had to know something dark was around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Little did I know around the corner was on my drive home.
You started feeling symptoms literally on the drive back.
It was rough, but no, we're talking about the gayest thing, Melody. And I gotta say, for you especially, it was...
Tell me.
How you really nailed the role of Shane and how people were like having to have side conversations about it. And I could hear it because I was behind the DJ booth while everyone else was on stage. I was reading the stage directions and people are like, oh my God, she sounds just like Shane. Oh my God. Wait, every time she sounds just like Shane. Like every time Melody spoke, people were freaking out at how much. Now I would also like to think part of it is the writing, you know, the lines were lines that you could see Shane saying, but
excellent.
The execution
verbiage to work with. Yeah,
the execution was spot on, Melody.
I can't help the fact that I am very good at impressions.
I feel like you need a character reel that's just you doing L Word characters.
Yeah, some people came up to me afterwards like, what the fuck, why don't you do characters? Like, why are you repped? Like, why aren't you acting? Like, what's going on? I'm like, no, I guess I just like doing impressions for my girlfriend and my friends, like for funsies. Maybe I could capitalize on it, huh?
Thank you again to Maker's Mark. I know we shout them out a lot, but Maker's Mark, truly an ally year round, not just during Pride. They sponsored this event, snuck them into the script at one point, you know. Yeah,
that was nice. Such a good script, so much fun. It was I mean, I will always look back on it fondly. Because
a lot of people were asking, will you do it again? Naomi and I have talked about putting it up on Zoom so people can attend no matter where you live. Because I know a lot of people who aren't in New York had FOMO. I mean, this show sold out in less than 24 hours. So we know there's a demand. And I think we will do it again. COVID has kind of put a little bit of a damper on that, though. I thought maybe we could squeeze in a Zoom one before the holidays, but I feel like there's chaos right now. But also maybe a
no more
maybe
things.
A return to Zoom, though. Maybe people want to be back on Zoom. We'll see. We'll see. We'll keep you posted on that. But I think at the very least, we'll do it next year. So, yes, that was our gayest thing. Honorable mention to I saw Benedetta, so you don't have to, or you do have to.
Thanks for doing I don't
know.
That.
I yeah, will not. It's very triggering. I just want to let anybody who wants to see it know that warning sexual assault trigger, like so bad, I had to turn away at parts in this movie. If you are okay with that, this movie is intense in a lot of ways. Am I glad I saw it? Yes. Would I see it again? I don't think so. It's extra in every way, which is kind of what you expect from this director who also directed Showgirls. It's, you know, yes, a lot of lesbian content, a lot of interesting choices in lesbian sex. I can't even say because it would be a spoiler, but you'd be like, dear Lord. It was a fun movie to see with friends because it was like an hour of solid jokes afterwards. Just really trying to unpack everything that had just happened. So, and I don't know, I say it like everybody's familiar, but when I tell people I saw Benedetta, they're like, what is that? It is based on a true story about an Italian nun back in the 1500s who was claimed to be experiencing all these like miracles, like the stigmata and whatever, and was like married to Jesus or telling everyone she was, and then was also having sex with another nun, but saying that Jesus made her do it. And, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I know that's the reason why I have sex with women. Jesus made me do it every time. I'm like, yeah. I'm just good at following directions from our Lord and Savior. Yeah, it's funny that that's based on a true story. And then the last movie I saw is about like Princess Diana. And it's like, this is a fable.
Right.
And that seems much more realistic than the insanity that is Benedetta. So it's in limited theaters right now. But again, you know, stay home, folks. Stay home.
Yeah, limit your exposure to the Omicron variant and also your exposure to Benedetta.
Yes.
How about that? Let's all stay put.
Anything else, Gay, that you want to give a shout out to?
Well, like I said, I am in Austin, Texas right now. Had two solid, or not even, like I got in Wednesday night, had a good full solid day Thursday. It's now Friday morning. Allie woke up with symptoms. Luckily, we're traveling with a nurse. She got tested. We all tested negative except for Allie, who so clearly has COVID. And so now I need to figure out what to do. I'm stranded. But we luckily were able to get in some fun activities, one of them being dancing at the Broken Spoke. And the Broken Spoke is an interesting place. It is a historic dance hall. Live music and boot scooting, plus beer and chicken fried steak since 1964. Okay, that's the description.
Sounds great.
Like Willie Nelson played there. Like a lot of like country icons have played there. It's very old. And it's just funny. Like if you go and look at the Yelp reviews, they're very mixed and they're just as mixed as my feelings, because like you go there every Thursday night, they have dance lessons where they teach you how to line dance and two step. And then just the woman who leads it is wildly problematic. Like there's reviews from girls who go like on a girl's trip and tried to take dance lessons, but were like subject to very offensive, racist, body shaming comments from this woman. Truly, it was just an off her rocker Southern woman doing a stand-up set and occasionally teaching dance moves. It was awful. Not the kind of place you want to be openly gay in. But like, I was there with a bunch of Southerners, like my friends who are originally from Texas, Allie, like Ever, Maynard, everyone was like super into all the music. So I like got up and I did dance with them a few times, but it was like, I was dancing, two women, you know,
just yelling
like,
no homo,
dancing,
the whole time.
Like just so completely gay in front of people. And it was like a challenge for me, but I eventually did it because I wanted Allie to have a good time. But then I got home and I had to read the reviews, and I just want everyone to see what I put myself through. Just go to Yelp and read the reviews for The Broken Spoke. It's like so weird when you want to participate in a culture and like, you know, hold your judgment for some things and be like, you know, I'm here as a visitor, but also I'm gay, you know, like, or like I'm queer. How do I be both things? You know, how do I appreciate this culture while also be myself? Like, very tricky. So I was so excited. We were like, let's get it. We had had enough eventually. Like, we're like, we've done it. We've did our cultural duty. Let's just go to a bar on the east side, like amongst, you know, regular folk. And wouldn't you know it, the first person I ran into was a patron of this very podcast.
Shout out
to Jesse in Austin, Texas, for making me look so cool in front of my friends.
Love it.
Approached us immediately, was like, oh my god, is your name Melody and you host Hiking Out? Amazing. So it was so good to see Jesse.
That's
after
amazing.
Like this, like very stiff, uncomfortable fun. It was so weird having fun but not fun at the same time. And dancing in front of a lot of old Texans, like you'll see on the reviews for Yelp if you do look it up, just like an ancient old Southern white-haired mean woman runs the joint who like berated us on our way in, just really set the tone. So happy to see Jesse. Gayest thing running into Jesse.
That makes me really sad that places like in Atlanta, when I lived there, the three-legged cowboy was like a country western gay bar that had free line dancing lessons that were led by Pepper, this butch dyke who kept her
that sounds
kept
better.
Her BlackBerry in a holster on her side. But she had two. No. She had two holsters.
Open carry BlackBerry.
Is hardcore holster, and Pepper, you know, was really didn't shame anyone, made everyone feel welcome. Like, I'm really bad at following choreography, but even I could learn a line dance from Pepper. So RIP, three-legged cowboy, bring it back, somebody.
Yeah,
but we're not here to talk about
sounds more our
country
speed.
Western music.
No, oh my god, that's so funny, because we're here to talk about rap music.
Yes.
Music I'm actually a fan of, music I can actually dance to. Holy shit, I love our guest so much I consistently dance to this music. And so we were so excited to hear that she had wanted to come on the podcast. We originally were gonna dyke out about rap. We threw on the word rainbow because this person is a human rainbow.
In every way.
Her hair is every color of the rainbow. Today we are dyking out with New York rapper Day Burger about rainbow rap. Day is a hard-hitting MC who mixes food, raw sex positivity, bubblegum sweetness, and the most slick rhymes. Day got her start as a backup dancer for Lil Mama before launching her rap career in the 2010s. Her music has been featured on HBO's Insecure and in all of my Spotify playlists for the last 7 years. She has a new album out now, Back in Your Mouth, with its first single, I Love You, featuring Paperboi Prince. Let's go. Day Burger, thank you so much for joining us today. We finally have you on. I feel like I've been waiting months for this because we did have some scheduling issues, but I'm so excited.
We did.
I think,
but today's the day.
Our original recording with you was, I think, going to be the day after your song was on Insecure. Woo Child was on Insecure. And I was so excited to just like geek out with you about that. That's so exciting. Congratulations.
I'm still excited about it. People are still seeing it and hitting me up about it. So I'm still geeking out too.
So good. Congratulations.
Also, such a great music video for anybody who hasn't seen your music video for that.
Yeah, we're big Housewives fans here. So obviously, we could tell you might be too from that music video.
I was going to say, it looks like we need our own season or something. Yeah. Our franchise, because I'll hold the apple.
Yes, yes.
And a burger. Burger one hand, apple.
Yes.
Burger, yes.
No, switch it up. Make it a burger for everyone. Love it.
Okay.
What's your favorite franchise?
Atlanta, of course. They just serve it up so good and messy. But I haven't caught much of the others, but it looks like it gets so messy. So that's why in the video we had a little messy scene too, because you know, one minute they're crying, then they're hugging each other, they're fighting.
Yeah,
so
very. It was fun to play Mimi that game. And Kim, I could tell.
Very much so. You know, just a little reference there.
Loved it so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you also have a new album out this week. It just came out. Back in Your Mouth, so good. I've been listening to it nonstop. Yeah. It's so much fun.
For real?
It makes me want to, party with my friends.
You're taking that boot yes. out? Taking that thing around the room?
Yes, because I am a big boob bitch, too. And I was like, a song just for us.
And you know, that song is for everyone, really.
Yes.
It's just like, whatever you got, that's your thing. Mm-hmm. That's what you are.
Shake it.
Mm-hmm.
I love
Do
it.
Do it.
Yeah, it feels like you have so much going on too. Like your video with Paperboy Prince, who's also another very colorful New York character who we love to see.
Kid.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. One of my favorite Instagram follows.
The things they do for the community is just so awesome as well. Mm-hmm. So I love to see the message and the inclusiveness that it brings. So then that's how I see myself as well. So once we connected, it was just, you know, it made sense.
Yeah,
of course.
Such a fun song.
Oh, yeah.
So you're in LA right now, right?
I'm home. This is very home burger studio. I'm in New York.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
I was in LA for 3 months. I was out there for 3 months.
Got you. Okay. Yeah.
Trying it on for size. It fits well. Cinderella, you know.
Mm-hmm. You like it?
I do. I really do like it. But this New York is my home and my home base.
Yeah.
So even if I moved or stayed there, I would always be coming back to New York.
Your sound is very New York. When I moved from Chicago to New York in 2017, I remember like trying to listen to new music to get me in the zone. I don't know.
Right.
I was listening to, that's when I first started listening to you. I was listening to Soft Serve a lot.
Oh my gosh.
Just like.
I love Soft Serve too. So.
So fun. I've been like a huge fan ever since. I was so excited when your team reached out. Ready to get into it. Wait, before we get into anything, we do have to ask you a question. Carolyn, do you want to ask a question?
Let's do it.
I get to ask.
You
All
get
right.
to ask.
Yes.
Come on, Carolyn. What you got?
Dayburger, we have to know, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
The gayest thing I did this week does getting red wine wasted and watching Netflix with the puppies count for anything?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's
a dream
what was
evening.
Happening.
Yes.
Yeah, pets in general.
It's the perfect winter activity. Yeah.
And the wine was kicking and the pups was chilling and it was great.
Sounds,
it felt a bit, you know.
That's so good. Oh man. Yeah.
Jealous much.
Yeah. Just like, I gotta get my cat and some wine for after this.
It's a go. It's the perfect night.
I don't know if you ever watched The L Word, but one thing we always say on this podcast is it was the most unrealistic thing about a show about lesbians is that none of them had pets. Really?
Mind blown.
Yeah.
I mean, Dana had a cat and they killed the cat off very early on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they said no more animals for us. So, we took the death. We dealt with the death.
Yes.
We couldn't take anymore, I guess.
True.
There are a lot of animals being killed on that show now that I think about it, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
Yeah. They gotta chill. Oh, man.
So, LA, 3 months in LA. I feel like most New Yorkers who like LA always say, but they want to be bi-coastal. It's hard to just like straight up leave New
Jump
York,
in
right?
There, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, it is La La Land. So
yeah.
Being from New York, I feel like I'm able to navigate it because it's like you can dodge the fake. Because, you know, the fate can never catch me anyway. So it's happening out there. But I've learned to just move accordingly. And I guess that's just the New York in me. So sometimes it's like, it's cool out here. But, you know, I want to go home. I want to go to the bodega. Like, I want to go eat a bacon, egg, and cheese. I just want to, like, feel like home sometimes.
Yeah, you can get a chopped cheese out there. Can you?
Tamale. Tamale. I know you just didn't. If you can, you gotta, who knows where you gotta go for it. It's just not available like out here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I need to walk two blocks down and like have bodega heaven.
Before we dive into our topic and talk about like rap at large, let's talk about you. You yes. grew up in New York. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Okay. My name's Dayneen, but I go by Day, so Day Burger. A lot of people like to say Die, mm-hmm. and I get it. There's an I there, but it's Day. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I've always been like into fashion, into dancing. I would always make up dances with my friends and things like that. So I was kind of always a creative, just in that sense alone. And I don't know, I've just honed in on it. I turned it into my own brand, making music, just using my linguistic skills to, you know, be a wordsmith and my own artist.
Yeah.
And I used the internet and Twitter and YouTube in the early days. And it worked for me. It kicked off and people were really receptive of it and glad to hear a new sound and see like a new face.
Yeah.
Kind of not caring. That's when I had a big mohawk.
Ooh.
Titties yes. around, blue lips. Like yes. it was crazy, but in the best way possible. So a lot of people didn't understand it, but it still, you know, was interesting. They couldn't look away. So I kept dishing it out. And here I am still just dishing it
we're
out.
We're taking it. We want more.
That's all I know how to do. All I know how to do is be myself. And that includes dishing it out.
Yes.
Were you always into the bright color? I'm just obsessed with the aesthetic here.
Growing up, I used to paint my nails, do little flowers on them. I love colors. I have every color nail polish. I have every color shoe. I have to have every color of everything, you know, because I can't just pick one. You know, some people are obsessed with one color. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with them all. So lately, I've just been jumbling them up even more because it looks fun. It's aesthetically just makes me feel magical.
Yeah.
And you have a beauty line too, right? Of products.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was taking.
Makes sense.
Yes. I was looking at it. And I'm like, I think I need this to complement the hair.
Yes. I got to send you guys something.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
That's amazing. Yes.
Okay, let's get gay about rap. Well, do you remember the first rap artist or album you loved or that you found inspiring?
The first one I loved was Notorious K.I.M. by Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
And that's the iconic one with the pink cover. And
she's
hair's blowing. And,
iconic.
Oh, man. I lost it. And I had the edited version because, you know, that was, I can't even remember what grade it was, but I was so young that it had to be the edited version.
Yeah.
And sometimes I still sing the raps with the curse parts missing because that's how embedded it was in my head, the edited version. It's like...
Yeah.
So crazy.
Did you find yourself more drawn to female rappers?
Always. Yeah. Yes. Like, I love Trina. Mm-hmm. I even love Kaya. I love upcoming female rap. But also, not only rap, just girl groups in general, obsessed with like TLC, Spice Girls. Oh, let's not go down the Spice Girl rabbit hole. Because listen,
wait, can
Spice Girls? Because I feel like all five of them in one. Like I am Scary, I am Baby, I am Ginger, and a side of 40.
You really are,
You heard it here
Spice
first.
Woman.
The one woman. Yeah, Spice Woman.
Spice. I'm just Spice. Yeah. Coming at you. Spice Girl.
Yeah. How old were you when you heard that Lil' Kim album? I'm trying to paint a picture.
It was definitely late grade school, like maybe going into high school or before. I just know young enough where it had to be still the edited version, know?
Right.
So it's like, I couldn't just be like saying my, you know, she was talking on there, boy. Kim was coming real hard. So,
yeah.
But I also just remember, like, I still have CDs from those days. I was a big, like, CD girl. I needed all the Spice Girls CD come out, go to Virgin Megastore. Like, I need my CDs.
For my binder.
For my big ass binders. Oh, yeah, a little flip book. Mm-hmm,
right.
But, man, those things still take up space.
Yes, as they should.
In my life and in my heart.
It used to be so exciting, though, to go to Virgin Megastore and pick out something. When I would go visit New York, even though I had like Media Plays and Best Buys out where I live, I'm like, I gotta go to the Virgin Megastore and buy myself a CD if I'm in New York. That's like,
it was a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Literally. And then they would bring people for meet and greets and stuff. Oh, it was just so good. And they could buy toys and can't, like, good stuff. It was just so awesome.
It, like, there's really no equivalent for that right now, right? I feel like we're missing that part of, like, what was the music experience and the excitement around, like, a release and all of that.
Yeah.
Totally. Streaming killed Virgin Megastores.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Moment of silence.
At the same time, though, I guess streaming gives a chance for a lot of people who wouldn't have access to it otherwise to have access and people to discover you. So I guess it's like a double edged.
It's a gift and a curse.
Right. Yeah.
Totally.
I remember reading Lil' Kim said she, like in an interview a few years ago, that she wanted to be a gay icon. Do you see her as one?
She executed it. She's executed that. She is, I mean, I love Nicki Minaj and the new school era too, but Kimberly Jones is the fashion icon. And still to this day, she really, that girl could dress her ass off. She is so hood rich and fly, and I can't take it.
Yeah.
I can't even.
She got smacked.
And aside from that, lyrically, you know, cause since it's a rap episode, like the bars, the things she says, it's just, she's an icon.
Mm-hmm. Are there any like queer rappers out right now that you think are making waves that our listeners should maybe like know about?
Besides Lil Nas X, who we all know about.
Yourself.
That's mainstream. And also I feel like Doja Cat kind of she blurs the lines and plays with it. So, and she's an ally, if not included, you know? So
yeah.
I love how she delivers her art. I feel like she's gets it in a different way, you know? So Doja Cat does it and Lil Nas X, of course. And he, you know, he really is putting it all out there, and that's great. Some people have their opinions about it, but I just love people being themselves. So another friend and ally of mine, Cakes the Killer. Y'all familiar with Cakes the Killer? Yeah, he slays. Mm-hmm. That's a buddy and a friend. We have some songs together as well.
Right.
And we do a lot of the same bills. So shout out to my niece, Cakes. TT the artist, are you guys familiar?
Yeah, isn't TT on Wu Child?
She's on Wu Child. Yes, that is one of my best friends and mentors. Yes, that's TT. And her catalog, if you're a Dayburger fan, you're a TT the artist.
Yes, I was going to say.
That you can't prefer one without the other, because the music's just so bootylicious and bubblicious and good. And
right,
she just puts on for women as well in the arts and music.
Mm-hmm.
So
your music both is just so sex positive, so body positive. Like your personas too as well. Like you tweeted recently just like, I love my fupa. And I was just like, I love this. This is what I need.
Sometimes I try to press it down, but it comes back and it's like, all right, I love you too.
Yeah. I love it so much. I just feel like women or just like rappers are able to be more feminine, more queer lately. Like it's getting so exciting. Did you watch Rhythm and Flow?
Yes, I did catch that one.
Yeah.
Cakes actually was on it too. He was there a couple rounds.
Yeah.
I was like, yes,
see. Like it was exciting to see all that and how it's playing out in the industry right now. I just think it's like a really exciting time for rap in that respect. And I guess that is the good side of streaming. Like, it's just so much more accessible for queer people to find.
Totally.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
When we talk about like rap, maybe it back in like the 90s and stuff, like it's come a long way in terms of queer visibility and having artists who can come out as queer and have a career and have people who aren't queer who want to collaborate them. How was it watching that change and also being a part of that?
Yeah, I was going to say watching it, but watching it from my outer body experience, because I don't know. It was great times. I'm from Queens, but that was the time when I moved to Brooklyn. And I don't know. It was a different scene collaborating. And it was almost like we were partying, but it was the hipsters mixed with kind of some hood people, mixed with kind of some queer creatives. Like, and we're all just in one room partying with each other, becoming friends and like forming almost kind of like an underground family, you know? And we just use the internet. The internet, like you say, kind of a gift and a curse, but the gift in it is if you use the platforms and you use it correctly and consistently, you'll get results. And I'm just a prime example of that. You know, we just documented it all. I was doing all the shows and just doing videos in my Brooklyn apartment, shot by my best friend, edited by my best friend, you know, and people were receptive to it. So we're like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. And give them some more. And so I have a rabbit hole of videos. Oh my gosh. And they all are true to me. Like they were either probably directed by me, curated by me, or with my friends, like calling in favors and just being an artist at all costs, you know?
Yeah. I want to know more about your process in terms of writing and everything. Like, you know, when do ideas hit you? Or do you like sit down and get it all down? Or are you more like in the moment while you're recording, just like vibing?
It can go all the above, because I have been doing it for a while. So it used to start with I had to write it down and be sure and like get my verbiage and my things right, which is what attributed to my sound, because I was being so, you know,
intentional
my words and what I was saying. Yeah. But with time, I'm able to kind of like, I can freestyle. So I can just go on a spot, hear a beat and like, okay, this beat makes me think of mangoes. Let me write a song called Mangoes right now. And then I talk about how much I love and how delicious mangoes are, you know? So it's like, I use the music to kind of trigger an idea, or I use an idea to trigger a beat, if that makes sense. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to talk about sunglasses. I tell my producer, and then they kind of, now they making a cool sound because I'm talking about sunglasses.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a collaborative thing. I love my producers. I love working with just creating new sounds and new things.
Yeah.
From scratch. A lot of the music I do is built from scratch normally. Like, I do have people just send me beats and I love them. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a song to this because I like it. But I love when I'm able to just start from nothing, pull a song out of the air, like music. Isn't that crazy?
That's great.
Like, you just make music appear. Like,
yeah. Have you ever tried to like jump on the drum machine?
I haven't. I've done a 1-2, but I'm very good at dictating a sound.
Yeah.
I'm true to it. I'm a great ear and I help compose, but I don't, whatever they're doing on the computer.
Magic.
God bless them.
Yeah.
They are killing it.
I watch some friends on like the MPC sometimes, just like, I don't get how your brain works, but it is.
Shout out to the engineers.
Beautiful. Yeah. Cool to watch.
You're also such like a visual artist too. When you're writing songs, are you also like simultaneously thinking like, how does this execute in a video? Or like, what am I seeing along with these words?
It does. It comes to me in flashes. Sometimes it hits me like an epiphany. It's sometimes it comes down the line. It really just comes with the music and the space I'm in, I guess, at the time, you know? Because now I want to do a song called Mangoes. So if you hear it, you get what I'm saying? Like, now I run with mangoes. And it's like, yeah, she did it. She said she was going to do a mango song.
I was thinking, I want to see that video.
And then, yeah, and right now you want to see what does mangoes give, you know?
Was there ever a time where you were, like, not necessarily, like, censoring yourself, but was there any hesitation to be, like, queer in your lyrics at all, or was there any?
I just talk, you know. I call it talking my shit. Mm-hmm. I can curse on here, right?
Yeah.
When I talk my shit, yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Right.
We're absolutely.
Out.
Yeah.
My yeah. I guess I never looked at it like that. I didn't. My mission wasn't like, let me be a queer artist. Like,
right.
It didn't happen that way. I was just talking. If I say like, I'm with my baddies and we rubbing booties, like, that's because that's what we doing. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying it's like, let me think of something that would make people think, you know. It's just, that's my life, that's what we, you know. So
yeah,
I never felt the need to censor anything. Have I, when I first was starting though, maybe different managers trying to like find my route or like get help along the way. Some people would say, oh, you know, maybe you should tone this down or tone that down, like my looks, because I had absurd hair. But I loved, first of all, my hair was everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I wasn't going to change anything. And as far as the music, like, I liked talking raunchy because also, no one else was doing that. So it's like, well, I feel like I'm saying things people maybe are afraid to say or don't have the confidence to say. So let me give them that confidence to say it. Like, we can talk about being a big boo bitch. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can talk about partying all night till we like pass out or something, because it happens, you know? But I was just saying what people may be afraid to say. And censored or muted? Nah,
yeah.
I don't think that stuff will really happen.
You know, it was
not
actually
right here.
It was Cakes actually who got me thinking about that when I was watching Rhythm and Flow, because I remember Cardi B made a big deal out of him being a homosexual man, just like,
right,
you're gonna have to be really careful, like, be careful, like, watch yourself. But then like,
but she was also saying like, be it. So it's like,
it was confusing. But then
right.
She also like completely embraced London B, who like made it to the finals too.
Mm-hmm,
so it's
mm-hmm.
like, is it like harder for like male rappers to be mm-hmm. more queer than, like, are they more policed and like,
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. People love it. Oh, you're loving me and you kiss girls. Right. Oh, that's hot. Can you do it again? Can we watch? Like, they want to see it. Mm-hmm. Whereas when it's a guy, it's like, I was like, oh, my eyes, the children, oh, everyone.
Right.
Like, you know, and they take everything so sexual and it's, you know, it's more than that.
Right. Yeah. That show got me thinking about it. I was like, yeah, there's so much progress, but still like a little imbalanced.
There it is. It is. But you know what? As a woman, you know, we have our own adversity. So the males, plenty. They gonna let them fight you a little bit of battles. We got a whole bunch of things to work out.
You'll be fine.
Women, so yeah, good. Y'all be all right, you know.
Right.
Sorry. Love you guys.
Yeah. It also seems like a lot, like especially music videos and stuff that we're used to seeing women getting sexual with each other, but more like mm-hmm. for men to enjoy and not really, it's like not in a queer context, but it's right. always been celebrated to have women, you know, like not wearing much clothes and dancing up on each other and, you know, making
fetish,
out or whatever.
Fetishized.
That one's always the hardest for me to say.
Yes.
Fetishized. Yeah. I don't even try anymore.
Fetish. Okay. It's a fetish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it. Like, maybe it's more appealing to the eye, but beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So what looks great to some might make others not, you know, feel the same. So.
Do you feel, though, that makes it hard for people to take your sexuality seriously? Because a lot of times people will be like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, you like women like that, but it's like for our attention, right? Like,
no. And that's the point. The message I do is self-gratification.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because I feel liberated by it. I feel this is what makes me feel powerful and strong, you know? So it's like reclaiming it, taking it back, you know?
Yeah.
What they deem not, you know, what they put on it, but just showing like, nah, like I own it actually.
Yeah. And I feel like that's like no matter what you do for a living, that men will just kind mm-hmm. of assume that you're doing it like for their consumption.
They think you walk into the corner store in sweatpants to them. You
yeah.
know, it's like, I can't even. So now I'm just talking about it. It's like, well, deal with it. And I'm, you know,
yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Everything's not for you. I mean, maybe some people do move with that intention, but at some point, I guess it's a self-gratification thing as well. So
yeah.
Be free and awesome.
Is there any like dating going on in the rap scene? Like, cause we're coming from a comedy community where there's like comedians dating each other and it gets messy. It's like, do you see any of that? We just want gossip. Okay.
Yeah. We hear so much about like the dating lives of straight rappers, like both male and female, but you never hear like, what is it like for like a queer woman rapper to be dating?
Right. Well, I don't know among celebrities and other stuff, but just in the scene alone, it's very, when they say it's a small world. So it's like, you could think you're meeting someone new and y'all are hitting it off, but then you find out they actually, one of your friends, like cousin's ex-boyfriend or like someone close to you who's, and it's just like, oh, they connected. And so it's a lot of that, a lot of cross connection. So I think that's where it gets difficult because then it's like, oh, you like someone, but you don't want to step on someone else's toes. And so it's just, yeah, it's a small community. So I don't know. I travel a lot. So I have friends and
have had
boo things all around the world, you know? So
yeah. Do you get a lot of listeners like sliding into your DMs or?
Not as much as you would think. Yeah. I'm a very, in-person kind of person. So it's not till people like actually see me and like vibe out with me in real life. Then it's like,
yeah.
And I need to do the same, you know, to vibe out with someone. So it's like some people, when they catch the vibe, it's like, I'm like, oh, hey, we needed to be in person to like enjoy this. Cause sliding in DMs is like, you can't get a full feel for everybody.
For sure. Know? Yeah.
I need real life energy.
Mm-hmm. Are you performing in person these days, or like it's such a crazy weird time for live music in general.
You literally just got tested for COVID right before we started this interview.
I literally did. It's been so crazy. I love performing so much. And COVID obviously took a big strike against that. You know, I had to take a big pause, big break, learn how to do live streaming, set up. You know, I had to change my whole life around to still cater to content and my craft without catching COVID and being in the streets. So it was difficult, but it feels really good to kind of be getting back to normal, because in LA, I did have some shows and they were all major and all awesome. And it's just like, you know, feeding the bear and the vampire. And I was just revived because I needed that. I need the stage. I live off of energy.
Right.
I'm an energy vampire, you know, so... It felt good. It felt good. I'm hoping things to get better, but it's looking touch and go out here.
It really is. Ugh, I want to come to a live show of yours. I feel like that would just be so much fun.
You like, would dance your hiney
like off. You at Elsewhere or something like that. Like,
well, yeah. I think have I done Elsewhere?
I feel like that's like the perfect.
I might have. We're going to plan something. I don't have anything lined up in New York right now, but I probably should in the new year. And I think I'll be back in LA soon for a show as well.
Nice.
Well, California, not Los Angeles, but California. So keep you posted.
Yes, please. Yes, please. You know, you're so big on just like fully embracing yourself and being authentic to who you are and not letting anybody's like judgment hold you back. How do you feel though about people in the business who are still closeted, who are like beloved by so many people, but they're afraid to really be their like authentic self?
You know, that it sucks. And, you know, everybody's different because some people deal with other issues, whether it's mental or family things. And so you never really know someone's story. So I also don't judge.
Right.
Because you just never know what someone is going through. And the means behind it, but you can only encourage and hope they one day, you know, see the light for themselves. But I don't judge.
Yeah. Are you thinking about Queen Latifah?
I am.
You're always thinking about Queen Latifah.
I'm sorry.
But she does. Isn't she married?
She is. But it's like... Everyone always kind of knew it.
She's not saying it out loud.
That's her choice. You know, I don't think everybody has to come out on the cover of a magazine or anything. But I think since people already pretty much assume, pretty much knew, it's not like she wasn't partnered up with other women her whole career. So I just wonder, like, had she embraced it, she would have been maybe even like a bigger gay icon. Like, she would have been like a leader, but not everybody wants that. So like you say, you don't know people's business, so you can't judge and whatever, but it always makes me think like of a world in which, I'm sorry, but her living single character was gay. That's what I wanted.
She could have been a better voice for us and the people coming up behind her.
I wonder.
The scrutiny, being under scrutiny makes it harder too. You know, imagine being like a celebrity back then. Not the same as being a celebrity now, but like, you know, celebrities were actually celebrities.
Right.
Like, and it, you know, so it couldn't have been now when people are telling you. You should say or come out or da da da. It's like, well, now, you know, it makes it harder to do it on your own terms.
Sure.
So. Yeah. Same for Missy Elliott. Like she.
But I was going to say, but now it's time. We ready now. Can you tell us now?
Let's go. Like what did Missy Elliott, all she did with Gossip Folks that came out in like early 2000s, all she needed to have was that lyric that was like, I heard the bitch was married to Tim and started fucking with Trina. And I was just like, okay, that's all I needed to know.
She
sneak it in a little.
She winked at us.
A little.
But now we have rappers
she said,
like,
how you doing?
Yeah. We got rappers like you now just like being so unabashedly queer. And it's just, so exciting. I don't have to go with a magnifying glass on like genius.com on the lyrics
trying to decipher these lesbo hieroglyphics.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Hidden in rap form.
Yeah. I also feel like it makes room for just like so much more creativity. I don't know, when I listen to queer rappers, I'm listening to the lyrics, I'm like, this is like very refreshing for me to listen to hear, right? Like men,
you can relate.
Men rap about men and women rap about women, or people who don't fit into those categories just talking about things that are a little bit more like with the times and not so following, you know, old societal norms. It's like, that's awesome to hear. Yeah.
Times have really changed and it's kind of great to see. So that's why I also say with like Queen Latifah and the Missies, it was probably like, it might have changed their livelihood, because that's a time where labels, you know, support you if you bring all this unwarranted attention, as they might have considered it. You know, you might get things pulled from you or stuff at that time. So now it's like at a time where it is included and it is okay, and nobody is as faulted as back then, you know?
Right. Yeah.
That's a good point. And,
but we ready to know now.
Yeah. And I don't think it's just the rap genre. Like even pop music, which you think would be more like open and accepting of queer, it wasn't until recently that we really had like queer pop artists like coming out of the woodwork and really like owning it and being out of it. It was just, you know, for so long it felt like the gatekeepers in the industry were like,
they were at the door with their arms crossed.
But now you can go on TikTok.
Yeah, now we have YouTube, TikTok, phones, and everything in between, laptops, computers, tablets that allow you to be a pop star from your living room. So
scoot right around those gatekeepers.
It's a beautiful thing, a gift and a curse, of course, but if you use the gift right, you know, it's abundant.
Yes.
Do
you hear from queer fans about the impact that your music has had on them?
All the time, all the time. I love my fans and it's so crazy. Like I have like, you know, my day ones, my like true following. And it's so crazy to me because, you know, I'm really just a girl from Queens who started doing stuff and like
just a girl learned from Queens.
Just a girl from Queens who figured it out, how to be cool and visible. And it worked. So to see like it impact people and make people want to like have fun and be free and be them true selves, it's dope. It's dope. It's what fuels me, really, you know?
Yeah. What's your sign?
I didn't. Aquarius.
Okay. That's fun.
Yeah. We the ones.
You the most fun ones. Okay. Oh, yeah. We love it. I just, you know, always ask at random points. And I haven't asked a guest in a long time. Are you proud of me?
Yeah. Are you into astrology?
I know I dabble, you know, it's like, oh, you a Scorpio, whoa, you know, just like little things like that. But, I guess I kind of know everybody a little bit, but you know, just, I go based off energy and people, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I wouldn't like meet someone I'm digging and they'd be like, oh yeah, I'm a Sag. And I'm like, a Sag? Oh no, we're done here. Nice meeting you. Like, I don't do that, you know?
good. Cause that's too much.
You'll get a pass.
Yeah. With so many different ways for people to get music out, like sometimes it could be hard to know like where to look for new music. Like sometimes I'll even find myself just going to Pitchfork and being like, I feel like where I'm getting music is so random. I don't know what everyone's listening to, but where are the places you go to find new stuff and new inspiration?
I get it. It's going to sound interesting, but I really get it just from social media, what's hot and what's hitting.
Yeah.
Because my catalog is very true to what I want to hear, when I want to hear it, how I want to hear it. I'm stuck in the past. I don't listen to probably as much new stuff as I should, that I get my dose on the internet. But I'm stuck in the 90s and the 2000s. I'm still playing my throwback playlist. It's bad. It's really bad. How much I just love my old stuff. So I kind of stick to it and catch what's kind of trending on the gram and stuff, TikTok. And Spotify's good for one. Like, I'll choose like a vibe and Spotify will
recommend.
Keep going with
stuff. That's how I found
really
you.
Do play some good stuff. See, they know how to like sync it up with things you like and stuff. So,
yeah, I really think it was like a LaKaylee 47 or something, like radio that you like popped up on. or something.
I'm going to pop up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pop up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. TT's always on with you too.
TT going to pop up. Yeah. She's going to pop up. We going to pop up.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, Melody and I, we both do comedy, and when people are like, oh, like, who's your favorite comedian? I feel like when you ask people who are in it, it's like very different, because it's like we spend most of our time with people who maybe like most of America haven't heard of. So I'm like, mm-hmm. naming people like, oh, I don't know who that is. Yeah. I'm like, well, they're the funniest person in New York, but they're not on HBO. So you're never going to know.
And it's hard for comedians too. That's a lifestyle of its own, trying to navigate.
Oof. Yeah.
Good luck, ladies.
Yeah. I wish there was a Spotify for comedy that people used more to help discover comedians.
Why don't you create it? Okay. Create a comedy app or something. Let's get this money, ladies.
I know.
I want my little Fonda.
You get your
scene.
Cut, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Because we're going to be rich.
We are. I think so.
I mean, yeah, create it. If there isn't a platform, you make one.
I just need you to record after we're done with this, just like 10 affirmations for me. You have the best energy through the Zoom. I feel it through the Zoom.
It's radiating.
I need to wake up and listen to you. I mean, I listen to your music all the time, but yeah, you're so inspirational. Truly.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have this album that just came out. What's next? Are you gonna be like focusing on promoting it?
It's rollout time, so I have all these videos to push, and I'm gonna be shooting some more and just focusing on content and just staying visible and staying engaged, because that's part of who I am. I'm an only child, so I need to engage.
Yes.
Or I'll build a castle. So I gotta engage, so that's always my main priority, is just how to stay linked up, doing shows if and when I can now, and just keeping everything going, you know?
Yeah.
And get back to LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't leave us.
I'll be back, but I gotta go.
It's getting cold.
Yeah.
You know?
Are the people you grew up around, like friends and family, like, are they all like, of course, this is your life
now?
They knew
it would be. Yeah, nobody is shocked. No one's surprised. Everyone kind of knew. When I graduated high school, I kept dancing, kept doing my little side thing, and I ended up backup dancing for Little Mama.
Oh my
God.
That's
what really kicked off.
I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah.
Tell us about
that. I backup danced for Little Mama. That's my girl.
And
that was amazing. That's when I really, once that touring was done, because I was able to tour the US with her, and we opened for Chris Brown, Soulja Boy, Bow Wow. It's like a time you couldn't really even imagine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was backup dancing with her. And after that, that's how I got my true taste of, you know, big stages and things like that. And that's when I honed in just on being Day Burger and like being a brand and just putting my craft out there. And, it shaped who I am. Between that and then working at the Patricia Field Boutique in the Lower East Side.
Nice.
Y'all familiar?
Yeah.
Are y'all familiar?
Yeah.
Talk about color. Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked there for many, many years. That's also part of the Day Burger legacy.
Yeah.
Because people would come there. I would style them. They knew I was kind of like a face of the store.
Mm-hmm.
Come by, hang out, have
fun.
Yeah.
Wow, that makes so much
awesome.
Sense.
Mm-hmm.
This all
tracks. I worked damn near right under her for many years. So I learned a lot, and I honed in on my fashion sense and skill and performed at a lot of the events we used to do there. So, you know, it just all shaped everything that's happening now.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Totally. Shout out to House of Phil. Yes.
Yeah. I can see all the influence, the dancing.
And there you have it too.
Fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And, you know, Patricia Field was like an inclusive store. We had shoes up to like size 15, 16. So
yes.
A lot of people in the drag scene, a lot of people who just want to try different things, corsets. We had things from $5 to $5,000, you know,
right.
Like there was something there for everyone. And I would always make people find what they needed in there. So it was a good time. I miss that store.
I love that. Know?
Still great friends with Pat, and they still have a showroom and stuff. And I love them forever.
I mean, I know that you have your hands full with music, and then you also, as we mentioned, you have your line of beauty products.
Yeah.
Clothing?
Merch. Merch.
But would you, like, consider a fashion line? I just, again, I feel you like know, it'd be incredible.
I really should, because also in high school, that was my thing. Like, I was the girl who would paint jeans. So
yes.
Let's say it's your birthday, you want your name and like some splash paint and like some patches or something. Like I was the jean girl.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a thing for me. I used to, you know, have really cool stuff because I would make it myself or like embellish. I'm big on embellishing and upcycling.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of that going on. So if I did, it would be something maybe along those lines, customs and upcycling.
Oh my God. House of Day.
Vintage turn, valuable, you know.
Would love that because, what was it? A couple of Halloweens ago, we were doing a Halloween show and I was dressing up as a past guest of the podcast who was an Australian reality TV personality who is like very colorful in her look and just
cool.
Like all her outfits, super colorful. I went shopping for it, had an impossible time finding clothing with, I went to so many stores,
oh
multiple malls, like, I'm like, why isn't there just like a line that is, you know.
TheBombs.com.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with B-Cala?
I'm not, but now I'm writing it down.
Oh, yeah, you should. B-C-A-L-L-A. B-Cala used to dress me like back in the Patricia Field days as well. And we would carry their clothes in the store.
Yeah.
And they dressed everyone. And it's so sick and so inclusive and all handmade and all the bomb.com that we speak of.
Oh,
so,
wow. This is great.
If I don't come out with something, I think B. Kala got it on lock.
Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
Is there anything else that you wanted to?
I'm down for collaborations too. I'm open to like, I like collaborating. I like working with people. Cause like I said, I'm driven off energy and working and dealing with other people. So
yeah. Right.
Always hoping if that comes up, I will not decline, you know,
spread the word, listeners.
Yeah.
There you have it.
You just a bright future ahead of you. Like, I'm so excited to continue to watch your career. It's been exciting to feel like one of those fans that, you know, you like kind of
when y'all rooting for me. I know they rooting
get in on
me.
The ground up.
Know.
Yeah. So, I'm so excited we got to talk to you.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Where can people follow you on social media?
It's Dayburger on all and most platforms. So YouTube to Spotify to the social media. But I do also just want to like talk about my need to give back and a foundation. Well, it's like an initiative that I've created and hope to continue. It's called Where My Girls, and it's a music initiative for young women.
Oh, my God.
And I've already hosted two of them, and we pretty much bring young women in, and we take them on a tour of the studio, show them some technical techniques. We show them some songwriting techniques, and we map out songs, and we record with them and get them in the booth, and they learn so much, and they have so much fun. So that's one of my goals and go-tos as I grow, is to keep giving back to young women, like, because like I said, an only child, and you know, it would have been dope to have a place where it's like you can learn things in a creative field. So
amazing.
Just trying to do that as I can. I do it with the Brewery Studio, which is also my home studio. So we came together and started this initiative, and I would love to keep that going. So stay tuned for upcoming things.
Yeah, Where My Girls, you heard it
here
first.
Check that out, everyone.
We gonna whip it everywhere.
Thank you so
much.
With
my girls with the red hair, that's you.
Yes.
With my girls with the jet black, that's
back.
You. With my girls with the purple hair, that's me. I love it.
Thank you so much.
You guys are great.
I think I'm going to go back and listen to that interview myself just to cheer me up right now. Just yeah. happier times with Dayburger.
Just early. Truly, Monday of this week, we are flying high. So inspired, truly, by our conversation. Like, we were... There was a pep in our
yeah,
step.
Yeah, and also, again, like, right before... the interview, we were delayed by 5 minutes because somebody was going over to today's place to do a rapid COVID test.
Right.
So. Well.
Stay safe out
here
there.
Here we are.
Get tested.
Here we are.
If you can. Yeah. Time for a listener question.
Yeah, this one came from a listener who's new, but she heard about us from people talking about us at Henrietta Hudson. I wonder if those people were us. I wonder if it was us at Henrietta Hudson
I know.
Talking about Dyking.
It was probably me aggressively handing out cards at our watch parties.
I feel like there's a little bit of a disconnect at the watch party that some people didn't realize that we also host the podcast. They're like, oh, they just keep talking about this podcast.
They just keep throwing that slur around.
But, you know, however you come to us, welcome. Thank you. Let's get into it.
All right. I came out during COVID and would love some honest thoughts about definitions of top, bottom, switch, verse, pillow princess, etc., and subtypes. Y'all were just talking about quote unquote social top, and I feel like I need an org chart. Okay, first, we're sorry to confuse that. Does anyone say social top but us? Maybe.
I feel like it's a great term. I feel like top, bottom, all these types apply to everything from the bedroom to social situations to your jobs. There are tops and there are bottoms, and everybody has a vital role to play. There is no bottom shaming. That's why we're going to get rid of the term pillow princess. It's not right, you know, unless you really are, unless the other person wants some and you're really being greedy. But if that's just your type, then, you know, you got to find somebody who matches it. You can't two tops. That could be a struggle. You know, that's a bet GG situation.
Pillow princess, it feels like a dated term.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I haven't heard it since the aughts 2010s. Right. More consistent,
and it also makes it sound like to be a pillow princess or a bottom that you have to be femme, and that's not necessarily the case. You don't know people. Yeah,
you don't know.
I think it's harder to tell. People will surprise you when you learn who identifies as a top or a bottom. But
and then wait till you find out about a power bottom.
Yes. Which I found out about,
you know,
from past guest Erica Rose. And I didn't know what it meant, but she said she was looking for a power bottom. And I'm like, okay, And I'm like, how can I even, I'm going through all the single people I know. I'm like, how would I know who's a power bottom? That's like, seems like a very specific thing. My understanding of it is it's a bottom who likes to direct.
Yeah, direct. Drive things. But then wait till you find out about a verse top, a verse bottom. I mean, obviously we have verse.
I would say I'm a verse top.
Well, top or
that
bottom.
Wasn't the question, but I think I'm just like full switch at this point.
Yeah, switch. I guess verse
and switch are the same, right?
They're the same. You hear true verse a lot in the gay man on the grinder world. Switch is more maybe on Lex. I don't know. I truly haven't been single in so long. I could be wrong.
I think some terms are actually the same thing, but some are just more popular in the gay men universe, and then some are more popular with women. So I do think that I hear more women say switch, not to be so binary about it, but and more men say verse. And then I feel like top and bottom are also more men, but lesbians kind of, and queer women kind of like took that and ran.
According to a 2018 survey by Autostraddle, switches make up over 50% of queer people. We also obviously need to note all sexual dynamics between people look different. I don't, you know how I feel about labels in general.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I feel like these labels can come in handy to know if you're going to be sexually compatible with someone, but sometimes you just like feel it out when, you know, like maybe with certain people you might be a top, and then with other people you might, you know, you might think like, oh, I'm a top, and then you have sex with someone, you're like, oh wait, no, I like, you know,
have had that experience. It's different with other people.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't get too caught up in it, but I think for the apps, this is where like knowing the definitions is kind of important. But ask people what it means to them. Obviously, here we are floundering, really trying to answer this question in a helpful way, and I think it's because it means different things to different people. So the key to everything sexual is communication.
I mean, I was in a situation where my friend group was trying to set up two lesbians. As I was watching this go down, I was like, there's no way this is going to happen. They just both seem like bottoms to me. And I was right. Like, it was like, but no one like even talked to them about their sexual preference. It was just like, oh, two single gals out on our night out. Yeah. Let's see if they hit it off. No, they didn't. And it was very uncomfortable for them. Like, they come in handy and then sometimes they don't.
And they can change over time. Hopefully that helps. Communicate, all that jazz. Don't sweat it too much. There'll be new terms every day. Just Google the word and auto straddle and then something will come up.
Just keep those TikTok apps open.
Yes, also a really reliable source of the most current information is TikTok. Speaking of social media, you can follow us at Dyking Out everywhere. You can follow me. If you were following me already, you would have known right when I found out that I had COVID. So it's a great follow. Let me tell you, at TGI Carolyn.
Yeah. You can follow me at Melody Kamali, where there was fun Austin content until an abrupt halt today. We'll see how long I'm stranded in Texas.
Thank you so much for listening this week, and hopefully, God willing, Goddess willing.
God. Let's see where we're at next week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.